Welcome to Safety Culture Excellence. This week's topic, are you solving the right problems? My name is Sean Galloway, and I'm proud to be your host. Hello everyone, recording this while working in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For the topic this week, I'd like to share an article that Terry Mathis wrote, published by Industry Week in February 2014. If you'd like to find a print version of this article, you can visit the magazine's website, or feel free to navigate over to proactsafety.com and click on the Insights tab. So without further delay, here we go. Are You Solving the Right Problems? By Terry L. Mathis. Clearing up a nagging issue at work may depend less on creativity and more on asking the right questions. These three examples show why. Most organizational leaders are at least adequate problem solvers. They regularly make decisions to meet the daily challenges of their industries and are able to navigate changing markets, regulations, and conditions. When they fail and call in a consultant, it is less often from the lack of creative solutions and more often from the lack of properly identifying the problem. In short, they are trying to solve the wrong problems. Because of this, many consultants have learned through experience to ask for the desired result rather than the perceived problem when defining the scope of the project. Among our recent clients, this phenomenon is largely due to two factors, the first of which is a focus on results. Managers, especially those from the MBO, Management by Objectives, days tends to view their jobs in terms of results. When desired results are not achieved, that is the problem in their estimation. They assume that the problem is precisely what got their attention. The desired result was not achieved. In reality, the root issue is often not the what, but the why or why not. There's a reason why the results are not being achieved, and fixing that reason is very often the solution to the problem. Defining the problem in terms of results causes many leaders to try to proverbial wag the dog kind of solutions, which have high failure rates. Simply deciding on which result you would prefer does not necessarily mean that everyone will magically know how to produce that result. The second common causal factor most often encountered is simply a tendency towards dichotomous thinking. This also springs from jumping to solutions rather than analyzing problems. When there is a problem, many leaders are asked to make a decision about how to proceed. Making that decision without thorough analysis is often tempting for the sake of saving time and staying on track. After all, if path A did not work, let's try path B and see if that doesn't fix the problem. Such trial and error approaches often fail because the true choice was not A or B, but M or nothing. Lack of analysis often leads leaders choosing one of two paths when choosing a destination. In many of these instances, consultants don't offer solutions, but simply ask leaders the right questions and help them determine what their choices truly are and the potential results and consequences of each choice. The following three examples demonstrate these types of problems, how they arise, and their solutions. Example 1. A client asked us to analyze a fabricating process and make suggestions to improve efficiency, quality, and safety. We discovered after substantial analysis that the process produced some scrap pieces of very valuable metal. The company had no use for these small pieces and decided to offer them for sale to other companies that fabricated smaller parts from the same metal. They estimated the cost of the metal per volume and decided that scrap pieces cost them approximately $2.79 each. They asked their leader to decide if they should offer them for the amount they actually cost to recoup their investment or mark them up to $3 and make a modest profit. The leader chose to offer them for $3, but no one purchased any, so they sold them for scrap at the equivalent of 0.39 cents each. We discovered that several other fabricators sold larger scrap pieces for $2.50 each, but the pieces they offered for $3 would actually take less modification to turn them into a finished product. We found three companies who would take all the scrap pieces they could get for $2.50 to replace the pieces that took more modification. The company leader thought his choice was to sell them for $2.79 or $3, when in fact, his choice was to sell them for $2.50 or 39 cents. Example 2. We were asked to assess the safety culture of an organization and determine why certain safety rules were not being followed. When we interviewed employees, they told us about several rules instituted after accidents that they viewed as ridiculous: total overkill and treating workers like children. When we brought these findings to the safety leader who had instituted the rules, he asked us, "Well, isn't it better to be too safe than not safe enough?" In his zeal to protect accidents, he made rules he thought would completely eliminate risks, but failed to consider how hard it would be to get workers to buy in and to go to these lengths. The safety leader thought the choice was to be too safe or not safe enough, when the true choice was to either develop a practical solution that workers would understand and support, or to alienate them with autocratic overkill solutions. Often, overkill rules damage the respect for all other safety rules as well. Effective communication or ineffective dictator? Example 3. An organizational leader asked us to help him improve his communication effectiveness and his image with his associates. He had alienated most of his direct reports with his blunt command and control style and his tendency to bark orders rather than confer with his advisors. His first comment to defend his actions was, quote, "I have been told I should try to be their leader rather than to try to be their friend. The board of directors thinks they need a parent and not an accomplice," end quote. After interviewing each of his direct reports, we found a great willingness to follow directions if they were simply explained along with the rationale and the big picture plan of where they were designed to take the organization. The leader was ineffective because the followers did not know where he was trying to lead them. They weren't questioning his orders. They were just trying to understand where they were going. Their new leader thought the choice was between leader and friend, when the true choice was between effective communicator and ineffective dictator. There's ultimately nothing wrong with results orientation or dichotomous decisions as long as they lead to an understanding of the true choices and their consequences. It is easier for leaders to make the right choice when they ask the right questions. Results come from processes. Processes involve technology, conditions, people, and interfaces. When processes fail to produce the desired result, you must look at these aspects and find which one or combination of them is failing. Once the problem is truly defined, the solution often finds itself. Until next time, remember, in safety, prevention trumps reaction. For more information on safety culture excellence, or if you have a topic to suggest, please email us at podcast@proactsafety.com.